Attention all personnel. You got it. You got it. You found the most listened to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
Initiate countdown. Execute.
Do not touch your dial. We are in charge of this transmission.
Salutations, and once again, welcome to the Brute Squad.
Brute Squad on the computer again.
Oh,
stop it, man! Once again,
nice way to start.
Yeah, nice.
Let's introduce Paul.
Yeah, Paul.
Hey, the main what's going man. On, guys?
Hey, glad to see you, Paul. Glad to see you too, Johnny.
Yeah, see how you are. You just why do you got to do that?
If I didn't, you'd think I was mad.
But see, what's bad is he doesn't understand that I sit there and see him do the exact same thing every week.
No, I'm not on a computer. Only
last night you were.
Only because I had to find out about Mark. Remember?
About Mark?
Yeah, about Mark. who didn't show up.
Who did not show up.
Yeah, so we had to find out about him.
You're trying to find out about midnight.
Well, yeah, because they showed up last night.
Because they showed up.
Yeah. But normally I don't do that.
That is true.
I had no choice. We were stood up.
He was stood up.
I see.
You know, I do want to start off tonight about the Colorado. I know a lot of people are talking about
Paul
it.
Paul and I
want
to talk about
everywhere.
Snowflakes. I don't understand why you always have to override us. We were talking about snow cones off the air.
You know, we'll just let him do it.
We'll let him do it.
One.
Okay. All right.
Snow cones. What are you talking about?
Just
Mr. Freeze. We're talking about Mr. Okay, go ahead.
See, I'm trying to get serious for a second.
Oh,
you
got
okay,
to
swerve
sorry.
The curve there.
Sorry.
I'm going to have Amanda turn you down. But no, really, I do want to talk about... Killing me, dude.
I'm trying to get serious. I was playing some serious music for you.
Nice. A little bit of Hulk there. And do I need to be walking on the side of the road
you
with my hands in my pockets?
Get your bag on your
get
back.
Get my bag on my back.
With your Batman symbol.
Yeah. But no, tonight we did say we're going to talk about Batman. We had because you know everybody's got a chance to see it now, so right. We got a little bit of spoilers, of course. So big spoiler alert. But before that, you know, I do want to actually you know give our condolences to everybody in Colorado and everything they went through.
The
you know that is the
families.
Yeah, and just it's all over the news. Everybody knows what's going on.
Right.
The sad part of this is that this is the way of our world. You know, this happens, you know,
all too often.
It does. I mean, it's terrible that right. somebody would do this to a movie theater.
Well, they
like
do
we
it
were
anywhere.
Saying beforehand, you know, that's your escape from reality.
That's our sanctuary.
You know,
it has to be.
And then somebody would do that. And what even
well,
bothers
well, look
me.
What they've done at McDonald's when you're trying to eat a damn Big Mac.
Right,
remember,
right.
On Facebook, I did that. All those examples of McDonald's. Yeah. We better never eat a Big Mac again because
oh,
everyone
yeah.
was saying, maybe we should not go to the movie theater. Well, maybe you shouldn't eat a Big Mac.
Right.
Because there's a whole, you know, every 5 weeks someone's getting killed at a McDonald's
absolutely,
around here,
yeah.
so.
Pretty much, yeah, you're right. But I think that's the worst thing about this whole just tragedy of it, if I learn to talk tonight.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. Is just, it's a sacred area of going to the movies.
That's right.
And it's one thing for somebody to go nuts, okay, and they're going to grab a gun and just shoot people.
Right.
But the way this guy's house was even set up, booby-trapped and everything, this was definitely planned.
Premeditated.
Everything he had was thought out.
No doubt at all.
I mean, how many injured? I mean, there was 12 deaths and
58, 59
injured.
A lot of injured. And the thing is,
can you imagine how many bullets that is?
What kind of coward comes in the back door when everyone's sitting in the dark and starts opening fire on him? I mean,
But the thing is, smoke bombs.
He dumps smoke bombs,
right.
So no one can see.
And then he opens fire. And what I read of the account was he had snuck out. The movie had already started, so everybody's engrossed in this movie they've been waiting forever for.
Yeah, 20
minutes. He drops the smoke bombs. He walks out in a gas mask. So everybody kind of thinks it's going along with the whole Bane thing. They kind of think maybe the movie's doing something. And then he starts opening fire, and he's walking up the stairs.
Right.
And he's shooting people left and right as he goes up the stairs. And I'm like, wow. I mean, and most people they didn't know where they were. They were diving.
Yeah.
I mean, But it's like
military guys were there though and did nothing.
No,
that
actually
makes me irritated.
That's not true, because one of the military guys covered his fiance and his mother, and he died.
Well, okay, but what about
a lot
the other
of them,
ones?
A lot
the ones
of them
that jumped over. They actually had reports of them jumping over people that were injured on the ground. I mean, that's some crap. You know it is. The guy had to have time to reload. He reloaded like what, three, four times?
Three or four times.
Jump his ass when he's reloading.
Oh, granted.
Jesus, man, don't just like allow this to happen, and don't run over people who are injured. I mean, I just couldn't. It's a good thing I wasn't there, dude. I'd have been shot probably, because I couldn't have sat there. You know I couldn't.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
At least I had Kevlar on.
I'm sorry. You're there with your loved ones. I mean, you're going to do whatever it takes to protect them. I mean, I think I was the most shocked about that, because I mean, after here, I'm not going to say anybody's a coward. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus.
Because it's horrible, and you
don't know what you're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like you hear about the 9/11 crashes,
right?
That the guy pulls out a box, nice, and everybody jumps on him.
That's
You know, and you heard about that, you know, I didn't really hear exactly what happened. Did anybody really try to get close? And because the guy obviously didn't get taken out, he walked out of the theater.
Well, it's chaos.
He was found outside.
I mean, but yeah, you've got a guy opening fire. Everybody's trying to save themselves. I mean, first off, you're trying to save yourself, and you're trying to save everyone around you. So,
right.
I mean, and then the panic sets in, and it's just chaos and pandemonium.
Well,
it is. Tell you,
and it's really hard to understand unless you were there, but I can pretty much guarantee you I would have jumped the guy.
Can I tell you the worst thing I heard this week over this whole mess? I was going to work Monday morning, and I'm listening to 93.3, okay? And I hear, after the tragedy of this week, you need to know that you never know when you will need insurance.
I know!
Yeah.
And it was a Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance, basically using this whole
tragedy.
As basically a selling point for their insurance.
Right.
A-holes.
Like, oh my God! Really?
Opportunists, I mean...
I can understand chasing an ambulance, but really? I was like, at this point, I would never buy Blue Cross Blue Shield, just on the principle of that.
Well, yeah.
I'm like, really? You're going to actually try to make a commercial out of the deaths of Americans in American theater?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
You and me both, buddy.
Yeah, to me, that's something that the press should be talking about.
But they don't.
Oh, no. Instead, there was one of the girls that was like the babysitter, 13 years old, and she was there with the child that she babysits and the mother. The child was killed. She was the youngest one that was killed. I think she was like six.
I think so.
And the mother was shot, and the mother fell on the child. And basically, the girl that was the babysitter, I think she was 13, couldn't get the baby out from underneath the mother to try to save the baby. She did what she could. And they're interviewing her on the news, and this reporter's like, well, how did you feel? How will this change your life?
How do you think I felt?
Do you feel about theater? And I'm thinking, how effing callous are you that a 13-year-old girl's probably traumatized enough? And I understand you want your freaking soundbite, but are you going to sit there and be cold and be, will this change the way you live your life? What the hell? Yeah, you think? Yeah. Dumbass. I was very appalled by the fact that somebody would do that. It's even one thing to an adult.
Oh, well,
this is a 13-year-old girl that I'm sure bonded with that 6-year-old child, was a babysitter, was bond, and that mother was shot. She survived. And then you're going to sit there and put her on the news, and you go out to CNN.com, and there's a video of her with a camera. How do you feel? Right in her face. Tell us how you feel about all this.
Oh, it was a carnival. I mean, what is she supposed to see? You know, that's the thing. But you know what? The media, they have dropped the ball the entire time since this happened. They've tried to pass blame on everything. They've tried to generate fear. They've got their facts wrong, misinformation.
That's what the media does nowadays.
It's horrible.
It's all fear-based.
It is. I mean, New York Times, of all places, didn't even have the damn location right. They said it was an AMC theater, and it was a Cinemark.
Yeah, it was a Cinemark.
It's one thing after another with these guys. I mean, everything has been erroneous. I mean, the guy never claimed to be the Joker until it was suddenly in the paper. Right. By a journalist who decided he was the Joker before the guy, because, I mean, the police chief will say it himself. I haven't released any statements at all to the press, so how come there was a statement supposedly from a police chief that didn't even exist?
Yeah. Now, the only thing I heard out of the whole from him is that, of course, they're thinking that he was actually drugged in the courtroom, that they had to sedate him. Because I heard another report that a couple of the inmates were basically said that he was very vocal, spitting. Whether it's true or not, they may have been looking
spitting
for this.
At the police. He's not really saying anything to anyone about his reasoning, but he's been spitting at the police. He's been cursing. He's been basically causing nothing but trouble. He has to wear they've got him chained up. He's got to wear a helmet with a spit guard. Yeah.
I didn't know that, because I know they showed him in the courtroom and he looked like he was totally wasted.
Yeah, they've had him. He supposedly is supposed to be on several meds, and he's been off of them or something. So I don't know. I mean, I really don't know, because you never know. You hear conflicting reports from every direction, and this is just another in a long line of screw-ups, in my opinion, by the media. I mean, we can't get a straight story out of anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you probably won't for a while. But, I mean, the only thing I really would like to know, and I'm sure everybody would like to know, is why.
I don't really care. I think he's an asshole and he needs to go to hell.
Well, I agree with you. Believe me, because we were talking about that. Somebody goes, they just need to off him because he's on a suicide watch. And for me, I'm an advocate of he needs to die in the most horrendous, painful, let's draw it out as far as imaginable.
So
I'm talking like, I'm talking about like dig a hole about 300 feet in the ground, like basically 3x3, and throw him a piece of bread and a little bit of water
every
day.
Drop him in Bane's prison. That'll be... He'll never climb out of there.
Well, I'm just talking about just the worst imaginable possible.
Well,
because I
wouldn't put him on
terrible.
Suicide watch. I'd be like, oh, go ahead. Here, let me put a couple razor blades in your cell with you. There you go.
But there is a morbid part of me that is curious to know why. Why would somebody plan that and do that? I know that it doesn't. It's not going to make sense. It won't make sense.
It's not going to make anything different. I mean, knowing why isn't going to change.
And plus,
anything.
He'll probably be lying anyway.
Very true.
My only thought process is if maybe you can learn something from it to make sure it doesn't happen again.
True, but you can analyze and overanalyze this for decades, and we're never going to know exactly what was going on in his mind at the time. I mean, and to be able to learn what we need to learn from it.
Yeah, I agree. But it is one of those things of like, it's just, I don't understand why. I'm not built to know, to walk into a theater and to start plugging innocent children.
Nobody is unless they're sick in the head, Johnny. I mean, that's the thing. We're trying to understand why from a mind that isn't even right. I mean, there's definitely a chemical imbalance with someone that would go in and do something like that. And pure evil, man. Just pure evil. And, you know, above everything, that's the one thing that, you know, I really, it's just a movie. The human lives are far more important than a movie. But I urge everyone to stand up and embrace what this character stands for in this movie, which is stand strong against people who would try to control you through fear, through terror tactics, through manipulation of horror, like this guy did. Stand strong against that. Don't allow this guy's actions, the actions of one individual out of millions that go to the movie every single hour. Don't let that keep you away from enjoying your life, because in all honesty, that's what they want. That allows them to win. So I use Batman as a shining example just for myself, and I'm sure, you know, hopefully others do too. He's a symbol against this kind of tyranny.
Right.
And we need to make sure that we, you know, hold that high and keep on plugging away, you know, for what's right, what's just, what's honorable, and honestly, people like this are not going to get us down. They're not going to stop us.
Oh, I agree. I mean, the whole concept, I mean, we talked about it last night, you know, was that the tragedy of all this is that that's what Batman was born from, a tragedy right. at a theater.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, really? I mean...
And even this opening
yeah.
has become a mirror of this event. It was a tragic thing, and we hope that people will rise from the ashes, you
yes.
know, just like happened here in the film. We want people to rise from the ashes in real life and embrace their lives, you know, more than ever.
Oh, absolutely.
Now that you've faced death, and I've been there, stand up and embrace life harder than ever, stronger than ever, and don't allow this dirty, callous, no good, twisted bastard
right.
to take your freedom, your life, and your sanity.
Hey, let's take a minute and talk about Bale. How great
he's
is that guy?
He's a dude.
He like I said to Todd a little bit ago, he showed he's a true class act, and he is, I mean, for lack of a better word, he is a real hero. I mean, just to step up and show up and do what he did without thought of personal publicity or
That's
personal
right.
gain, just to do it from, you know, do it out of the kindness of his heart. I mean,
you can't ask for a better
no.
deal. I mean, honestly, the guy, you know, he didn't have to do that. He did it on his own. He didn't tell the studio. He didn't tell the press. He showed up there. He was in an ambulance. They brought him in an ambulance. He made an agreement with the hospital. He went in there with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
They visited for about just close shy of 3 hours.
Right.
Then he disappeared like we were talking about. He reappears at the monument. He
disappeared for a few
you
hours
know,
and they thought he went
the
home.
The memorial.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the monuments that had been made with the crosses, the memorial for these victims. He showed up there, stayed there a couple hours, talked to survivors, talked to people who were visiting the memorial.
Yeah.
He made every gesture that a decent person would do in
oh,
this.
Yeah.
And you could tell he was genuinely moved. I mean, there's tears on his face
oh,
there.
Yeah.
He's genuinely moved by this. And I don't know if you saw or not, but there was like a cross with a bat symbol
yeah.
on it. That was pretty cool at
yeah.
the monument that they've made. There was a cross with a bat symbol on it to show, you know, these people loved this character. They were there for
right.
that reason. And this is kind of a tribute. And I think that, you know, more than ever, I think he felt like, you know, after playing that part, that it was a part of him. And he felt like he wanted to do this for the people, and
yeah.
you gotta say, holy cow, man, good on you.
Well, it was. I mean, I think the thing I was really impressed with was when he showed up to the memorial. One of the accounts
yeah,
I read
out of nowhere.
Was that there was a group of them praying,
right?
And the one guy said he heard an odd voice praying with him. And when they were done, he looked over, and Bale was just standing there.
There's Batman.
There was no
yep.
pomp and circumstance.
Yep.
He was just in jeans and a shirt.
Right.
With him and his wife holding, and he had brought some flowers. You know, nothing extravagant.
He didn't have security. Though, as a matter of fact, when they called the studio to get their opinion, they were
yeah.
like, "What do you mean? What?
Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't here representing us. We had no idea
right.
he was there.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
No, there was security after the hospital.
Well, from what I saw,
but they said it was very minimal.
That was like local law enforcement. Kind of did their own thing.
Yeah.
He didn't bring security with him. Like,
oh, no.
You know, it wasn't like he had an entourage. There was some, like the local law enforcement wanted to keep an eye on him, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, you after something tragedy like this, and there's already media reports, you don't want to have some other nut that's out
right.
there. Because there's plenty of them out there. Hey, let me jump on the bandwagon.
Oh, man, yeah. Don't even get me started on those kind of people.
Oh, yeah. But they're out there. I mean, but, you know, God, I got to say, you know, good for him. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, somebody that would really do that is just incredible. And it's kind of like what you were saying, you know, there's a lot of the other stars I'm sure would like to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but by the same token, you know, they have other responsibilities, and we don't know what
well,
they're doing.
And they're under contract. The thing is, this movie's been done a long time. They've done some, they had to take time out of their schedules and their contracts to do press.
Right.
Right.
But they had no idea that this was going to happen, and you have to
right.
realize that they can't just leave, run off from a movie set in the middle of a contractual movie that they're doing.
Exactly.
Or they're
right.
going to get a lawsuit on them. And, you know, and it's true.
Especially for the cost. I mean, you don't know. They have a set. Sometimes they have a
well,
window of like
Paris.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
of them,
they got
know?
A window sometimes of like, hey, we're filming this scene in 10 days. And after that, you're kicked out of our country.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, and I know you were talking about Les Miserables. I mean, they're
yeah.
filming that all over. And I know they've got some stuff in Paris and here and there over in Europe. And if someone's on the set of that movie, well, hell, what are they going to do? It's not like they can just jump in a car and drive over to the, you know,
exactly.
yeah.
Colorado.
And really, do they need to?
That's the thing that makes me mad. The minute Bale does this, everyone's like, yeah, that's real good, but what about the other wealthy bastards? Why, man, why don't you get off people's backs? What about the a-hole who's sitting in a cell with a, right. that pulled the trigger right. and is, nothing's happened to him except for sitting in a cell?
You know, I got to tell you something. They had a report that I read this morning. Michael Moore, you know, everybody knows about Michael and all his movies, was he did a whole thing with the guy from, God, what's his name? Pierce Morgan? Is that it? Excuse me. He has a show and he had him on there. And he was all talking about, hey, you know, I'm a big fan of Obama. I think it's great that he came out and he showed up and he showed his support, and that he goes, you know, if this happened to my kids. And Michael Moore's like, you know what? We need to start thinking right now that this was our kids. Instead of sitting there going, God, what if it was? You need to think like it was. Because like his big deal is like, Obama, your big deal is gun control.
Right.
What have you done since you've been in office? And I'm not going to make this political, but it's like he said, you know, we're talking about what are these other actors doing? What are these, what's Anne Hathaway doing? Why isn't Christopher Nolan there? Right. But it's also, what is the powers that be doing to enforce that this never happens again?
Well, and really, let's be honest, this kid, you know, they try to make it out like he bought them at the local Walmart, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm not an advocate for guns, but I am an advocate for freedom. And I do not believe that gun control is necessarily the issue, because it's not the legitimate legal people that we have to worry about. It's the a-holes who are buying them on the street, and they're going to buy them anyway.
Oh, yeah. and that's the problem, and I agree with that, because it's like, oh, we need to slim down, you know, permits and everything. You know what? If somebody's going to get a permit, they're probably not a whack job.
Right. Well, that's the weird thing. Sokey's. Some guy tried to sell me a gun at Sokey's because he wanted to buy crack. This is a true story. And he's like, $25. I'm like, dude, I don't have any money. $5. It got down to $5, and he's trying to sell me a handgun for $5. Oh, look, man, this gun is good. This is the real. He probably stole it from somewhere else. I'm like, look, dude, I told you no.
Right.
I'm not buying a gun. How are you going to be standing here in the middle of Sokey's on Main Street?
Right.
It's a restaurant, not much of one, I admit. And you're trying to sell me a gun, you freak show.
Well, even worse, he's got a gun in his possession.
Exactly.
And he's trying to get money from you.
Yeah, and he's a crack addict, yeah. So it's like one of those things where, I mean, you could tell he's like got all these sores everywhere and he's scratching the hell out of his face. And I'm like, dude, get a job in a sideshow, okay? I'm not buying this gun.
A little bit of crack pipe, you know, around the lips.
So it's like
burns.
Scary as hell, dude. Yeah. And the thing is, those are the people that are going to have the weapons, not Granny Pringle who just wants a shotgun to keep her house safe.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, I have to get into the matter, and I'm not going to get political, but Captain America would be the first to tell people, hey, you know, the Constitution's in place for a reason. There's a reason why our Second Amendment is there and why it's number two.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we got people in this country that kind of might get megalomaniacal and go crazy, and egos go and power goes, and the next thing you know, we got martial law. Someone's got to defend the freedom of this country at one point or another.
Absolutely.
Someday.
Well, think
so
about
that's
it.
Why I look at it.
I mean, somebody comes in and they're shooting a theater. If you had a police officer there with a gun, or an off-duty, or somebody that had a gun in their possession that legally could have it, the guy would have probably got capped pretty
well,
quick.
But the thing is, he had bulletproof vests on. That's right. That was the issue.
But then you get into the worry of, okay, who's going to get caught in the crossfire? What else could happen? I mean,
and then you get into the debate of, okay, if one person got in the crossfire and only three people were injured,
right,
as opposed to 58, is it worth it? And this is a big mess, you know.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
It's really a moral
but it's
problem.
Always, it's always, you know, what if, though.
It's always a what if. Yeah.
I mean, really, you're in a theater, somebody's going to shoot 12 people and injure 50. Okay, when he first getting the rounds off and you can plug the guy in the head.
Of course, he had that helmet on that was also bulletproof. So it's you might have disabled him in the arms, the legs, something.
Right.
But the whole point is, at that moment, it's really hard. I mean, I just know from personal experience, because of working at the haunted house for 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh,
great.
Anytime things broke out like that, it trained me to react in a way that was faster.
Different.
Than I don't even know I acted that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why I say I would jump in the bat suit when I was in that suit. I would have jumped the guy. I know I would have,
but
because
it takes
I know
people
me.
That are trained to do that, or that is used to that.
Or that's done it a lot.
That
yeah, because
it,
the
can.
Average person standing there, you're right, they're going to fall on the floor and cover their head.
Yeah. And I had problems like, because, you know, back in the 80s, I was a security. I played hockey, you know, everybody knows. And my hockey team was actually
the Mighty Ducks.
No, it wasn't. It was the Kansas City Rebels, actually. But we were actually hired as bouncers for one of the dance clubs.
Kansas City Tinkerbells.
You and I are going to go around. Next time I'm on Night Watch, I swear to God. But it's true. There's times we had a guy pull a knife on another guy. And there's times like that you react. You don't know what you're going to do unless you're in that situation.
I had to, or those, you know, the workers there, or the other patrons going through could be hurt.
But that's
killed,
what's so bad about this whole mess is the guy, he's wearing helmet. He's got all this protection. Right. You know, he's got the gas bombs.
That's because
going
it is
on.
A conceal and carry state.
Yeah.
So someone could have technically had a gun in there, but I guess Cinemark won't allow him to bring it in or something. And that's now, I don't know if you guys saw, I posted a guy earlier, and I'm urging everyone to go after this lawyer, because this guy that just happened to be in the theater at the time, and he survived, he wasn't hurt in any way.
Right.
He's trying to sue Cinemark. He's trying to sue Warner Brothers. He's trying to sue The Dark Knight for being violent. And I'm like, dude, you were the one that paid for a ticket to see it.
Last time I checked, it was PG-13 because of violence.
And it's not, yeah, and it also isn't rated R, and it's not The Expendables, so I don't understand the big deal. And this guy really, it's obvious he's wanting money.
It's making money off something that was
tragic. And the lawyer needs to get slapped in the face. And so
I
posted the lawyer's information, his name and everything, and I'm going to put it out on Night Watch. I'm going to give the guys office and everything else.
Well, you know what?
Let's go after him.
And we'll link to that on our Brute Squad.
Yeah, because
we'll go out there on the Brute Squad.
We got to show these lawyers we're not going to take this crap. You do not exploit someone's tragedy and death and injury.
To make money off of it.
For a guy that wasn't even injured.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and the fact that these people that were injured, none of them are talking about that kind of thing. They're just so happy that they met their hero today or yesterday. They met Christian Bale. They were like, hell, man, Batman came to see us. They were so excited. And they were like, man, we would love to see the movie. That's the thing that I thought was great.
Right.
You know, they loved Batman, and they were thrilled to meet him. And they wanted to see the movie. I mean, that's saying a lot right there.
So there you go. What Warner Brothers should do. I mean, honestly,
I think they're going to.
They
I
should
know
do
what
like
you're gonna
a private showing for them.
They
and,
are,
and I mean, that would be brilliant,
dude. They're probably gonna have a lifetime supply of Batman Blu-rays for the rest of their lives. Here's a Blu-ray player. Here's a TV, and here's the whole deal. Yeah, yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool.
It is
pretty awesome. Pretty. We got to go to break.
Well, you know what? And when we come back, we're actually going to go ahead and we're going to get into what we thought of The Dark Knight.
I'm afraid.
You're afraid. Hey, that's what we're about, though. We're critics here. That's why we
are
have
we?
A radio show.
I don't know. I just want to celebrate. Dance to the music.
Hey, and you may.
I may.
And you may. So stay tuned. We'll be right back in just a bit.
The moon.
variety.
All types of music. I love the music.
With less commercials, and we deliver. Jackalope Radio.
Once again, welcome back to the Brute Squad.
Brute Squad!
And, you know, we all went to see Batman last week.
Twice.
Yeah. Well, Paul and I actually, you know, we actually participated in the whole trilogy event, absolutely, which was awesome.
I did in my own way.
You did in your own way. Yes. But you know what? I do want to take a moment here, and I don't interrupt.
I won't.
Zip it for a minute.
I don't know if I can do that. I'll try.
No, seriously. I want to tell you something. I was really impressed and very proud to be your friend the other night.
Really? Why?
Just because there's a lot of people that went to see Batman. And, you know, you're doing great. Don't get me wrong. But you being up there in that hot freaking, you know, suit after everything you've been through, I know wasn't the easiest thing that you could have done.
That's true.
I know you enjoyed it. But, man, the looks on those kids' faces and every...
And some adults.
And, well, yeah. And the adults. And, you know, go out to our Facebook. We got pictures out there. Nightwatch has got pictures out there. But, dude, it was so cool that there wasn't a single person that would walk up, hey, can I get your picture? And it was like a quote, you know. It was like, certainly. You know, that was Todd. Yeah. And I mean, and I know you dig it, but to know what you brought those other people just really impressed me, dude. I think that was awesome. The crap of what you've been through this year, and to be able to stand there in the costume representing Batman.
Hours.
For hours. Yeah. I mean, I just got to tell you, it touched me. I thought it was awesome. I was proud to be able to say, hey, that's my friend over there doing that. And those kids just ate it up. The adults ate it up. And I think AMC missed the mark. Because this isn't, I mean, anybody that's listening to this out there that got really tripped on Todd doing that, AMC didn't ask him to do it. You know, that was something he wanted to do.
Yeah.
He wanted to get up there. He wanted to be a part of what everybody was experiencing. And what you did really just heightened the whole entire night. It really put the icing on the cake. I mean, I thought it was amazing, and I really take my hat off to you for doing that.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really did have a fantastic time. You know, when all the numbers came in, it turned out there was like around 4,100 people there.
Well, and 20 movies, theaters.
I did about a third of those people, I think, with pictures. I really do. I know, yeah. I did over 1,000 of them. I lost count.
It was crazy.
It was absolutely nuts. But I tell you what, it was about the people and the looks on their faces and the fact that we were there to promote the Batman. The first night I did it as a deal kind of for Allied to help out and to kind of make it kind of nice. But then the manager came up to me that night and said, are you coming back tomorrow night? And I said, well, I'd planned on it. And he goes, good, good. He was all excited. And the employees treated me right. They gave me buckets of tea and took good care of me. They gave me an honorary member of the team, little 24-karat gold button smiles.
Nice.
You know, AMC loves smiles, the little thing. Uh-huh. He said, you know, we love smiles here, and you've caused more smiles than I've seen in a long time. And he handed me that 24-karat gold little pin. And
it was true. You did. It was
really nice.
It was awesome.
I felt pretty good about it, and I loved doing it. You know, I loved the little kids that would come up in costume, and they were just into it so much. I had this one little dude. I swear he had to come up and, like, bounce off me, like, 90 times. He just kept coming back. Dad's like, he won't watch the movie. They were in some other movie, like Spider-Man or something. He's like, he won't watch the movie. He has to keep coming out to see Batman. I thought that was pretty funny. A little red-haired kid.
That's awesome.
That's what it's all about, man, you know, because I just want people to realize that, of course, Batman's a character, but... You know, it's kind of neat when you kind of see someone in that suit. I mean, I know I get a thrill out of it at Six Flags or whatever. I walk, I'm like, oh, my God, it's Batman. I got to take my picture, you know. And so I'm
But you weren't. You weren't Todd Sheets.
Oh, I wasn't, no.
Everybody that walked in, it's freaking Batman.
Right. I stay in character. I don't ever break character. That's the real thing. Yeah, you can't. When you got the cowl on, you have to be respectful of the cowl at all times.
Oh, granted.
Yeah, I'm a nerd. You can tell now.
But no, dude,
it
was
amazing.
Thanks
for exposing that to America.
Yeah, you exposed yourself.
Yeah, nobody knows that already.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, people that know that have never listened to Nightwatch or Brute Squad is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's
true. At all. But no, dude, I just want to take a minute and tell
really
you how,
that.
You know, that was freaking awesome.
That's awesome, man. Thank you.
Let's talk about the movie. I mean, if you haven't seen it yet, turn down the radio. We're going to be talking about some detailed stuff about the movie. I know Todd and I think Paul both have difference of opinions on some things.
But we still love each other, man.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the point. You know, everybody's going to view these movies differently.
Exactly.
Everybody has different thoughts. You know, there's a few things that kind of bothered me. Overall, I enjoyed it. It was a great popcorn flick.
Right.
There's just little things that, and for me, seeing it the first night, didn't really bother me. I mean, I really enjoyed it the first night.
Right.
The second night, watching the first two movies in front of it, there was little things that kind of poked out at me.
Yes.
That I was like, that doesn't seem quite right.
Right.
And I will tell you the one thing that really kind of surprised me in it. And I know why they did it, but it kind of didn't really settle with me.
Yeah.
Is Christian Bale, every time he screwed up, Alfred was like, he's like, Alfred, you're not giving up on me. And he's like, never going to give up on you. And then all of a sudden in the next movie, he's like, I can't take this. I'm leaving.
Right.
There's a reason behind it.
Well, I understood it, but for me, I'd rather have known that Alfred was never going to go anywhere.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I mean,
I see the point.
I understand why. I didn't think the point of why he was doing it would have added up to the point of that was his father now.
Yeah.
And I don't want him to see it.
It's about death. It's about life or death. And he thought if he shook his foundation,
right,
that Bruce would snap out of it and decide he cannot be Batman anymore. That was what it came down to. It was a moral dilemma. You know he wasn't really wanting to leave.
And that's the point, though. If you read Alfred in the comics, Alfred already knows that that Bruce Wayne's basically
gone.
The mask.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne's the mask.
Well, we know that too now, and that's kind of the point of that. I think that whole arc in the story, I really believe that was the point.
Right.
Of it. We have to see that Alfred is so distraught at the thought of Bruce Wayne dying that he has no idea what else to do but to shake the foundations of Bruce's very soul.
True.
And that's, I think, ultimately, it's a self-sacrifice moment. So even though I agree totally with you, I also agree totally with Team Nolan,
right,
which is very difficult because I'm like, wow, I didn't want him to ever leave. That sucks. But, man, what would I do in that situation?
Right. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. You know, I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying personally.
It got to you.
It got to me. I didn't want Alfred to ever be in that position.
That's what I love about it, though. It moved you, even if it frustrated you even.
Right. You know, I would have liked to seen Alfred a little more in the movie. I mean, even after he left, see him still around Gotham, still trying to do something, you know, to help Bruce. You know, whether he goes to the Wayne Foundation and tries to do something there, you know, to further Bruce's, you know,
like
work with Lucius or do something like that. You know, I would rather seen that than him just disappear until the very end of the movie.
And I think maybe there was some of that.
It's
we all know that, you know, on the Dark Knight script, there's scenes that were filmed that we never got to see.
Right.
Unfortunately, there was never a longer version released, even though we've got pictures from those shots. I've seen the picture of the Joker inside the weird decked out taxi,
right,
you know, stuff. But we never saw that scene. That was a scene right after the assault on the people at the tower. And Bruce or Batman jumps out the window to save Rachel in the Dark Knight. There's a scene after that. He lands on that car, and then the Joker comes out, and the Joker's getting in that weird cab, and they're driving off, and he's like, well, what are you going to do now? And the Joker basically makes a crack and laughs it off, you know, about, you know.
But that's Nolan, though. He's not big in director's cuts.
Once he gets to the spot, that's all he
wants.
This is my movie, and the rest of it was
that
junk.
That is the director's cut,
kind of,
yeah. But he wants to – I would love to see the full – because I know the first rough cut of the film was 38 minutes longer than what ended up being in theaters.
This one?
Yeah. So I'd really like to see the full
– yeah, because I think it was kind of short.
It was 3 hours, yeah. But I would gladly sit through another 38 minutes of it.
I never
wanted it to end.
I didn't either. There was other things I wanted to see that I didn't see.
I was spending time with, like, old friends, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I wanted to enjoy it.
Right. And I think that was some of the other problems I had. I mean, I was a big advocate. I've been on the radio bitching, you know, about Selina Kyle, you know, being played by Anne Hathaway.
Right.
I think she hit it out of the park.
Dude, me too.
Yeah,
I wanted to see more.
Yeah.
I wanted to see more of her.
That's awesome. She is fantastic. I mean, beyond fantastic.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
She brings all... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
I just wanted to kind of interject that, in my opinion, it's the first time they got, like, the comic book Catwoman kind of right, because there's no camp, there's no twisted bizarreness like I loved in Batman Returns, but let's be honest, she was kind of a twisted individual.
Right.
She was none of that.
A Burton Catwoman.
Yes, there was none of that. In this one, she was an intelligent, smart, dangerous woman who knew what she wanted, knew her place in the world, and wasn't going to take any crap from anyone.
Right.
And she rode that line between good and evil that they did in the comics so well, they finally captured it on film, I thought, for the first time.
Well, what parts bothered you, Paul? I know there's been a couple that you and I have talked about during the week, but
to me, overall, the entire movie kind of bothers me. And the reason I say that is because this being the final Batman movie, it seemed to center more on Bruce than Batman. I mean, you brought up that Bruce is the mask. Well, most of this movie was Bruce. I mean, it started and ended with Bruce. And to me, Batman, he gave up. He ended his career. And to me, it's a never-ending battle. He's always there. I mean, he should never have left. And to pass it on to someone else, I think, is a cop-out.
I didn't think he did. See, I took the ending differently. I took that ending differently than a lot of people did. Right. A lot of people felt the same way you just spoke. But I don't think that's what's going on at all. I think, basically, because Alfred was standing at the grave of Bruce Wayne,
right?
I think the choice has been made that he is no longer Bruce Wayne. He's all Batman.
I would hope that's true, but the way they played it off with Bruce and Selina off, like they're moving on with their lives, it just felt to me like he'd put both parts of his life behind him.
I think he did that just on purpose for Alfred, and then he was coming back, and I think she's going to come back with him, and she's going to, try to turn over a new leaf, and I feel like... I mean, they made a point of making sure you knew it was Robin, and I think that he's going to come back. I think one of the things in this movie that really touched me, aside from all the trials and tribulations and what facing death for the first time and coming back, was the fact that he found out, being a lone wolf doesn't always fly, and he really does need people to help.
True.
And so he brought in some people. He embraced these people. He allowed them into his inside, into his heart, into his mind.
I would agree with that.
And I think what this means is Bruce Wayne is no more. He's coming back as the Batman, and now he's got to help. He's got Robin there, and he's going to have Selina there, just like in the comics and in the cartoons. And they're going to be a team. They're going to be able to work together when they need to. I think he's coming back to train Robin, and it's going to be a really cool thing. But we'll never see that.
Right.
But that's kind of what I got out of it.
And another problem I had with the movie is, how did Blake find out?
He's
a detective, yes, but so is Gordon, so is everybody,
I think they made a point of that, though,
but
that's why Batman
Gordon never
let
wanted
him
to
in.
Know, but yeah, but why, I mean, it just seemed like he just woke up one day and said, it's Bruce Wayne, and it just snapped his finger. I mean, they didn't really delve into it, as to what he did to find out. If they spent the first 20 minutes, with him in a scene every once in a while of him researching and then coming to the conclusion, it would have made it a little more solid for me. But just to have him walk up and say, "I know you, who you are," it cheapened it for me.
Upon watching it again, I did really pay attention to that, because that was my first thought. And then I realized, actually, they do give you a lot of clues.
Well,
because he talks about how when he was a little bitty kid, he met Bruce Wayne, and they made stories up about him, how he's larger than life.
Right.
And how everyone else just kind of went on with their lives and thought, those are goofy stories. But how it put a seed in his mind thinking, what if he really is this thing? What if he really is the Batman or larger than life? And then he started going into research and learning and learning more. And he did talk about, I've been following you for years. I've been checking this out. I've been checking that out. And so he figured it out, because he's a really smart kid. He's a good detective.
True.
And he felt this connection with Bruce Wayne that other kids didn't get.
Well, the orphan and all.
Right.
I would have just liked to seen maybe a scene in his apartment or something where he's...
Clippings everywhere.
either clippings everywhere, or whether he's going through a scrapbook and just finally closing the book, metaphorically, and then going actually talking to Bruce Wayne.
Right.
I would like to see, that last little bit of him going, we have that aha moment, putting it all together, and just, he knows for sure now, and then going and...
But you know what
Bruce.
I think when he went in to talk to Bruce, he didn't know for sure. I think that conversation...
It helped solidify it.
...made it happen. Because,
it's possible.
Because as a detective, remember what
you're
Gordon
gonna
had said.
Still question, right.
Gordon said, there are no coincidences.
Right.
So he went in there, and he even made a little comment about, there are no coincidences.
Right.
And then he said... He was feeling it out, and then when Bruce Wayne responded the way he did, he went, I was right. So I kind of thought, because I saw his face kind of light up.
Yeah.
He did such a good job in the
part. He did. I mean,
such a good actor.
I think the only thing that bothered me was the typo that they actually kept calling Blake instead of Drake. I mean, honestly.
Fix that script.
That really did kind of bother me a little bit, because it's like, okay, I can understand you don't want to do it exactly like the comics, but by the same token, what would it hurt just calling him Drake?
Well...
what I mean? Just calling Drake.
I think Chris Nolan was so mad about the prospects of Robin. He hated the character, and in this way, he kind of made it his own. He's still got a Robin, but it's something completely new, and it's not the same.
And it's workable. I mean,
it's a lot better than Damien, for God's sake.
Well, if they would have had him and killed him, might have been fine.
I mean, yeah, I half expected at the end Tally to look over and go, ha, I've got a bun in the oven.
Right.
No, okay, bringing her up, I got to tell you something.
Worst death scene ever in a
big
budget
granted,
movie.
That too. Yeah. But the one part that really frustrated me is the part where Bruce comes in and there she is, the love interest, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
There's Bane. They're going to get into it. Next thing you know, she stabs Batman in the side.
Right.
And she's like, I'm Ra's al Ghul's daughter. And the big, you know, which I thought
was
cool.
Reveal.
The big reveal.
That was great.
And then
next
thing you know, she bails. Catwoman comes in and shoots Bane.
Right.
Which to me was very... I get the whole joke with the whole, you know, I want to change my mind about guns and all.
Right.
But you had Bane as the bad.
Right.
And instead of having Batman take out Bane, you had Catwoman shooting with a big gun.
But he already did. We saw him break Bane in return.
Well,
because Bane was going to die the chick came up.
But I'm just saying, I'd like to have seen maybe Batman whip up on him a little bit more.
He probably wouldn't have killed him, but he did say, you have my permission to die, which I thought was really cool.
Right.
Now, I will tell you the thing that bothers me, though, about the scene. It's not Catwoman with the shooting.
Okay.
What I would have liked to have seen after that, because we've talked about it, I would like to have seen Catwoman and Talia go fisticuffs. I mean, she's the trained assassin.
Right.
She's Ra's al Ghul's daughter. Let's see her whip some ass.
Yeah.
Let's see her and let Batman go after Bane if he didn't get shot, or let him be patching himself up from this gigantic knife wound.
They didn't really have a whole lot of time, Johnny, to play around. The bomb was ticking, dude.
But what I'm saying is they could have just played that up a little bit. I'd like to, but I would have rather
Catwoman just pulled her out of the truck and slapped her a couple times in the face and had a little bit of a fight right there. Had the clock ticking, make a little. But instead of Talia just sitting in the truck and going, "I am going to fulfill my father's I loved how they got her. I mean, with the wreck and all that was realistic. Instead of someone just getting through a wreck like that and going, "Aha, I'm perfectly fine."
Yeah.
But at the same time, the actual death, the actual 2-minute death scene there was Monty Python all the way.
Right.
Check that out. Thor's outside. He's pissed about us talking bad.
Oh my God, dude.
We're almost out of time. Hurry.
Yeah. Are we really?
Yeah, we got 5 minutes.
You know, you got to consider, though, you got Ra's al Ghul that got taken out by a train.
Right.
You got the daughter by an automobile.
Yeah.
All we need is a plane.
Hey, you know what? They do have one now. Or something close. My God. Yeah. That was such a cool scene. Oh, we got him trapped in there. Boom! He came fly. Oh, I was
See, that's one character I didn't think needed to be in there.
Who?
Matthew Modine's.
I liked it.
To me, it was fluff to me.
In the comics, they have a dude similar. I mean, we've seen him for years. The guy that's always against the Batman.
But you know
Bullock,
what? That's when they got five.
Harvey Bullock.
But that's when you got five different comics a month, you know, for every month.
Right.
If this is the last part of Batman, I'd like to. I would have rather have seen that time given me some more of Catwoman.
Oh, I agree. Well, but at the
giving
same
me
time,
some more of Talia in the costume.
Right.
You know,
well, and the one thing I said the other day, the one thing I would have loved to have seen is in the courtroom scene when you finally see the Scarecrow or Jonathan Crane up there and he's doing the whole, you know, decision. I would have loved to have seen Two-Face walk out and be the prosecutor or be, you know, the defense attorney for Gordon.
That would have been awesome.
And say, you know, Harvey's dead, but I'm here, and flip the coin or something.
Something weird.
I just wanted to see some, because you brought back everybody else. You brought back Ra's.
Harvey's dead, apparently.
Harvey's dead. Two-Face. I mean,
they're both dead, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
They said his neck was broken. That's what I was like. Because I was like with you.
I know, I'm with you on that. But that was one thing. When they got to that point and you saw a crane up there, I just was waiting for Harvey, you know, for a coin to flip or something. I mean, I wanted to see something like that.
No, you know, bring
and
it
then,
up.
Of course, half the crowd would cry foul and half of us would cheer.
Right.
But by the same turn, I almost thought it was kind of sad that they didn't have any reference to the Joker at all.
I understand why, though.
I mean, well, I understand why, but to
me, Nolan said before we even saw this movie, he wasn't going to have one reference to the Joker in it. Not one.
But why not?
Why not bring the, I mean, to me, why not have that legacy still go?
Well, and you don't have to say, you know, or have anything about Heath Ledger, you know, in the press or anything. Just have, you know, the clown, you know, took care of the clown. Or like you said a while back, you know, the other day, have, you know, in Arkham, have Harleen Quinzel have a doctor walking through and just, you know, a reference, you know, to that character, not necessarily, you know, say the Joker or say anything about him, just a reference to who he was.
I think it was such a respect issue because
everyone loved Heath so much
as a person, and Christopher got very close to him as a friend.
Oh, yeah.
So I think out of total respect, he didn't want any reference that would kind of impart anything new.
Right.
He wanted everything that had been done. That's why he hasn't released any of that footage, which I think is a crime. I'm like, dude, it's more footage of Heath as the Joker. Let's see it.
Right. Yeah.
But he hasn't, out of total respect. It's kind of the opposite of what I would do. I'd release it for the world to cherish. But he's like, I just want people to
remember him how he was.
This is him. And this is how it was. And I get it, but I totally agree with you guys on that. I really had hoped to see a little bit, but I knew.
The part that got me was the Joker was such a huge part of the last movie. I mean, he was the main focus, and then just to gloss over that character.
Well, they also didn't want to admit that the Joker had won.
Right.
And so they didn't mention that for that reason, too.
True.
I mean, they didn't want anyone to know.
But he didn't win.
He did win. Well, he destroyed Harvey Dent. He won.
But by the same token, he didn't, because they cover up the fact with Batman saying that he killed him.
Right.
That's what made it where he didn't win.
Kind of.
Because the whole point of Batman saying, I'm taking the blame,
right,
is so that the Joker wouldn't win over the whole city and bring the city down.
Right, right. Yeah. That was the reason for
he
that.
He won the battle with Two-Face being killed, but not the war. They were able to lock him up.
That's why I think they decided to come out and say, well, actually Harvey did it, but... They didn't say, well, the Joker made him. I mean, that's just too much. So because they didn't want anyone to realize that this Joker freak had won anything. Because I think that would just give his memory too much power. You know, the city had forgotten him, and let's leave him locked away. And of course, I'm reading a lot, but that's because that's how it made me feel. And honestly, I'm just glad I was alive to watch this movie.
Yeah.
I celebrate every moment of it. Every freaking moment. Not one thing. The only part I didn't like out of the entire movie was a 60-second moment, 30 seconds maybe, where Talia died and flapped her eyes over like a damn Monty Python movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that was crazy. I just couldn't believe the overacting. But other than that
it was great.
15 to 30 seconds, everything else about it made my heart jump for joy, and I was like, oh, and it was the journey, and man, I tell you what, I can't find a negative thing about it other than that.
And that's with me. I love the movie. I thought it was great. There was just a couple parts, you know, that were just a little unsettling to me.
And I have to admit, you know, I'm kind of loving all three equally now after this. You know, even though there's highlights, of course, in The Dark Knight, there's highlights that I'll always love more than anything.
But there's stuff in the in just regular Batman Begins.
There's a few things in there that I love, too.
Going back and watching that and seeing, like, when he first goes out, he wears a ski mask.
Uh-huh.
You know, when he, like, jumps, you know, Harry is flying across and he's, like, all beat up the next morning.
Yeah.
You know, the whole point of, like, you know.
I love the scene where he drops the little bat radar thing that they follow down, and he saves Rachel. That whole sequence was breathtaking, I thought. And
yes.
Well, I like the thing where Alfred, like, brought in Lucius, you know, when he had the drugs.
Oh, yeah.
And he was kind of like, well, it's either that or you die, you know? It's kind of like, yeah, I'm sorry I gave away your secret, but you were dying.
That's right. You were going to die, fool.
But there's little things like that. I mean, I got to tell you, I really miss Katie Holmes in the second.
I do too.
Yeah.
I liked her. Watching it that time, I was like, you know, I like Katie Holmes. I think she did a great job.
The girl that plays Rachel is a great character in the second one. Maggie Gyllenhaal. I like her. She's a great actress, but for some reason, she seemed to kind of aloof in the second one.
A little bit.
And everyone claimed that Katie was that, but I didn't think Katie was at all. She had those emotional scenes with Bruce in the car with the gun and all that. And
what was believable that they were once old friends.
Right, right.
And I didn't get that from this one. There was no chemistry there.
There was a lack.
I mean, the problem is she had, I mean, that, I think that was it. There was no chemistry to me to believe that she really even cared about Bruce.
Right.
And I mean, you know, granted, you know, what it was and what is, but.
Well, I tell you what. I didn't get to go to the three thing, but I watched them at home the night before, and I ended up really enjoying seeing them in order again. And I got to tell you, I love them all three so much. They're almost one movie, really.
Mm-hmm.
They're all three approached separately, which I love Nolan's approach to that, because he says, all right, each movie I'm going to take on like it's its own entity, and I'm going to connect them, but not like in a superficial way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He connected them in a spiritual way.
But they really were, though.
Different. Yeah.
I got to tell you, I really, after I walked out of the theater, I got that feeling after I watched Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
You know what? I did get that feeling that it was like, really, this is kind of one movie.
One big movie, yeah.
I mean, it was like, it's three different acts.
Yep.
You know, and that's how I felt.
They all three had different looks, different feels.
But it was the journey of the acts, you know? And I liked the space in between the movies from filming, because it had the actor's age where it was even more believable.
You know what I loved also? You guys, we're almost out of time, but you guys will probably tell me this too, because you watched all three of them. I love the fact that from beginning to end, any villains that were in there were icing on the cake, because it was really about Bruce's journey through true. The through the course of his life,
yes,
as Batman,
right.
And becoming Batman and all that. It was his story, and everything else was just kind of involving. It was like,
right.
Cause all, yeah. You know, you had your villains coming and going, but it just showed how he would, these were just challenges. These were just mountains he had to climb.
Right.
And he figured out a way to beat him each time. That's what I thought was kind of cool. Even his friend Harvey, which was a heartbreaking part of the second story, I thought. And it tore me up.
I got to say, once again, Aaron Eckhart, you know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. He was so, I mean, if it wasn't for the death, I mean, tragic as it was right. with, you know, Heath Ledger, I mean.
I think they both would have been nominated.
I think they
stuff.
Both would yeah. have been nominated. But oh, it was yeah. just overshadowed by his death, which, terrible as it is. But Aaron Eckhart did so great.
He did amazing. Yeah. Well, not just him. That whole film, every performance in that film, I felt from Gary Oldman, from Michael Caine, they were all incredible. All the main characters were
oh,
so
yeah.
incredible. The fact right. that only one of them got nominated kind of was a slap in the face, really. And that's why they have 12 movies or what, 10 right. or whatever.
The Academy didn't get the memo.
Yeah. I'll give them a memo. God, we are out of time, gentlemen. I don't know what to do.
Thank you guys for showing up once again, listening to the Brute Squad. Thanks again, Jack Loeb, for giving us the spot here to be.
Thank you guys for being here.
And next week, we are going to be talking about some of the new Marvel stuff coming out. They're starting to release the Captain America Winter Soldier, some stuff on Thor. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And, of course, once again, this weekend, we're going to be doing some prizes at Brute Squad for Total Recall.
Very nice.
So, catch us next week. Same Brute time.
Same Brute channel.
Brute Squad! I will never, ever be untrue.